this morning. Thank you guys for having me. Get mic'd up here. Try to speak loud if not, but so a little bit about me. Like Joe said, I'm from way up the river, a little town called Newport. It's clear on the other side of Washington County. It's a small town. If you blink, you miss it when you're driving through. It's just two little caution lights. I was a 2016 grad of Frontier High School. Super small. We had 50 kids in my graduating class, and that was a big graduating class for them. So, real small school, real small town guy. But I appreciate getting to go around to different churches. I've been to several in the area and getting to not only practice, speaking for the Lord, but also getting to share His word with those, getting to meet people in different congregations. I did my schooling at Ohio Valley University. Those of you may have heard of it. It recently closed. Graduated there in spring of 2021, so thankfully I was able to graduate. Me and most of my friends that went there were able to graduate right before it closed. I know there was a lot of issues up at the top level of the school, but the teachers and the students, man, I couldn't have picked a better spot for, God definitely led me there. I didn't actually decide to go there until the spring of my senior year. I was all set up, had the paper signed to go to Marietta College for environmental science. During our senior school play that I was in, one of the representatives from OVU, that was an alumni of my school, Frontier, was there. He asked me what I was going to school for. I told him, and he said, "Hey, we're getting it at OVU." And so it's just God aligned it perfectly, as he usually does, in his timing. So I went there. They ended up actually dropping my program my sophomore year. There just wasn't enough kids coming into it. The school was having money troubles. But the school came together and helped me to get classes through other universities online to be able to graduate. So I'm the only kid that ever graduated from OVU with my degree. And I tell that story to just give the credit and glory to God, because without Him, I'm not sure where I would have went. But where I didn't see a way, He made a way. And I really love to tell that story because it's a time in my life where God really showed me His presence and that, His way is the best way. That if you trust in Him, things do work out for His glory and His honor, and things work out for the best. So I've been speaking in this capacity since my sophomore or junior year of high school. Started when my church of Newport Baptist, we had a youth Sunday, and the youth usually did all the parts of the service except for the preaching. And for some reason, God put it on my heart to do the sermon for that Sunday, and so the youth leader was a little bit taken aback, but regardless, she was like, "Okay, we'll see how this goes." It went about 10 minutes. It was the shortest sermon, I think, ever on record for that church, which most of the people didn't complain. but God worked with me from there, and so steadily I've got more life experience and more developed in my sermons, especially at OVU. I minored in Bible, and so I was really able to dig deep and become more knowledgeable in God's Word, and that has, I think, made me better at delivering His Word when I go to speak. So thank you guys for having me. I appreciate you guys welcoming me into your family here. It's a beautiful church you got, beautiful setting. Kind of reminds me of OVU, really. Kind of, it's somewhere, but it's also the middle of nowhere at the same time. You have to drive a little bit to get to it. You got the beautiful scenery around. Seen some deer on the way in. That's definitely like OVU. We'd see turkeys and foxes and deer up on the hill, and it's in the middle of harvest. So, but we'll get to God's Word this morning. So we'll be in Luke, book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. But for the scripture, the main scripture this morning will be Luke chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. I will read that this morning. And if you would, if you're able, if you would please stand for the reading of God's word. I'll give everyone a second to find it. But that'll be Luke chapter 19, verses 9 through 10. And God's word says, starting in verse 9, "And Jesus said to him, 'Today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. May God add his blessing to the reading of the word this morning. Thank you, guys. You guys can be seated. So, my current job, my weekday job, I should say, I work for the Washington County Health Department. I'm an environmental health specialist in training, which is a fancy way of saying health inspector. The state comes up with the titles and such, but basically we do that. We go around and we inspect pools and restaurants and water systems of homes. But one of my benefits of my job is getting to see all of Washington County. Where I live, we're kind of tucked up in the corner, and my schooling was up there, and then I was in school for Parkersburg, so I really never got to see much of Washington County growing up other than for sports. But now we travel and we do things in all the different parts of the county, so I get to see all the back roads, the waterways, and really just the natural beauty of this area. It's a really beautiful place that we live in this part of Ohio. And it turns out I didn't know that Washington County is one of the biggest counties geographically in the state. It's actually ranked fifth in the state, just under 632 square miles. And within that land, we have abundance of wildlife and plants. But one tree that we commonly see around this area is the sycamore. And the sycamore tree, besides being a part of the Bible story we're going to look into today, is quite interesting. Sycamore trees here in America, at least, it's the one that looks like it's peeling. It's got the white and gray bark. They can grow quite tall, up to 100 feet, between 75 and 100 feet sometimes, how tall they can get. But as they age, there's a fungus that roots into the tree, and it attacks the heartwood. This fungus consumes the tree's heartwood, but it doesn't kill the tree, but it leaves it weak and hollow. And this is because the heartwood of the tree is the central supporting pillar of the tree. It's the central rings that give the tree its support. For Christians, you could say that our heart is our central supporting pillar of our faith. And so remember that. We'll come back to it later in the story when we see about Zacchaeus, who we're going to be looking about today, about maybe how sin had entered his heart and maybe had left him weak, hollow. So today, the story of Zacchaeus is found in the book of Luke, chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. Some of you may recognize this story from the kids' song that kids sing when they're grown up or they're taught in school about Zacchaeus and how he's a wee little man. And kind of the background of the story, so Jesus was headed to Jericho. On his way through, he healed a blind man. And so Jesus had already been performing miracles in this area. Word would have likely traveled to the neighboring town where Zacchaeus was living about Jesus coming through. And usually when Jesus was preaching and teaching and doing things as he did, word quickly spread about his presence. Jericho would have been a stop for Jesus and his disciples on their way to Jerusalem. The Jericho of the New Testament was built by Herod, King Herod, about a mile south of what we know where it was for the Old Testament, where they marched around and the walls came down. It's the same town, but it was actually built further away, about a mile. And today, Jericho includes both locations. So just a little bit of backstory. As Jesus approached Jericho, a crowd would have likely gathered soon as he entered the city with the status and the stature that he had and the kind of mystery about him. There would have likely been a crowd gathered as soon as he entered the city. People would have known Jesus is here. So let's dive into the scripture. We'll read from Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 3. God's word says, "He entered Jericho and was passing through. And behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. And he was seeking to see who Jesus was. But on account of the crowd, he could not, because he was small in stature." Jericho was a very prosperous city. It was a center for commerce and for trade. It was kind of a hub where goods and traders would have come through, but the city itself had built up into quite a center for people passing through and those that lived there. The he obviously is referring to Jesus, but this story mainly describes Jesus through the view of a man named Zacchaeus. So just from these first three verses here in this section, we learn a little bit about who Zacchaeus is, no pun intended. But we learn that Zacchaeus is a chief tax collector. He is wealthy. He is short in stature. And he is wanting to see Jesus. He's seeking to see Jesus when he comes through the town. Now, Jericho being the prosperous city that it is, a man like Zacchaeus, who's a chief tax collector, would have benefited greatly from this profession. A tax collector would have been given the job from the Roman government to collect the taxes for them. The Roman government, as big as it was and expanding ever so greatly as it did, they would have had tax collectors in each city where they was under Roman control. And basically, the benefit of being a tax collector was that, hey, we're going to give you this job, you collect X amount of taxes from the citizens here, and as a benefit for doing for this for us, you can tack on however many extra fees and, you know, basically whatever, you know, backsided deals you want to do, you can do that. So basically it's like a contract of you're going to pay this amount to Roman government, but because I'm doing the job here, I can add on all these little hidden fees. You know, it's like you're going to a car dealership and, you know, they add on all these little extra things, you know. But more or less basically it was extortion. They could charge extra taxes on what was top due to the Roman government to make money for themselves. And Zacchaeus, being the chief tax collector, he would have been even higher up the ladder. He would have been over the other tax collectors in the area, making even more money for himself. A tax collector who was wealthy would have gained that wealth by extorting the money from the citizens. They would have abused their position of power and betrayed the trust of the public. And another thing is that we only see the chief tax collector. This is the only story in Scripture where that term is used. So it really identifies just how unique of a person Zacchaeus was. That, you know, here in Luke, that they indicate that he's a chief tax collector. That verbiage isn't used anywhere else in Scripture. So when I was younger, trading cards were a big thing, especially where I lived. You know, those that you lived around, you know, you kind of made your friends with who you lived around, being a small town. And a couple of neighborhood kids there and me, we'd all buy up these trading cards, and basically you would build a deck and you'd battle with each other, these little creatures that you collected. And so it was kind of fun in the moment, and, you know, eventually you grew out of that sort of thing. But when we were young, it was one day, it was late, and I heard my mom give the shout for dinner, and it was, you know, back in the time before everyone had a phone on them, really. And so, you know, you kind of listen for your mom or your parents to shout, holler, the dinner was ready. So me and my friend, we were quickly cleaning up our cards, and I grabbed his stack of cards by mistake and put them in my pants pocket. Well, you know, kind of a couple of days went by and nothing happened, and my dad called me to the washing machine one day and said, do you know anything about this? And inside the washer was just plastered with pieces of paper that the deck had gone through the washing cycle, which was, he was upset about because it, you know, potentially damaged the washer, but I was upset because I knew that that wasn't mine. And it's not like, you know, you can just run out and buy these things. There's different rarities, there was different, you know, it was a whole thing. It wasn't like you could just go out and buy a new one. So I had betrayed my friend's trust in me of when, you know, I had accidentally grabbed his up. I didn't take care of those as I should have. And so, much like Zacchaeus would have been a member of this community, he betrayed the trust of his neighbors, of his family, of his friends. And likely he wouldn't have had many friends because of the job that he had, because he extorted that extra money to make himself wealthy. Betraying the trust of those around you damages the relationship. The relationship between the people, the Jewish people and tax collectors, was full of distrust and contention. Because these individuals had the backing of the Roman government, the tax collectors, there was often little, if anything, that the citizens could do. If you tried to fight it, you know, Rome would come down on you, and then you were fighting not only the local tax collector, but also the Roman government. And so, unfortunately, the people had to pay whatever the tax collector said. So the name Zacchaeus ironically means pure one. There was nothing pure about profiting from people's unfortunate position to pay not only the taxes to the Romans, but whatever fees he had set for himself. In verse 3, we see that he is short in stature. This verse is speaking in a physical sense. With his title and occupation, though, it's also fair to assume he would have been short in stature with how people viewed him in the community as well. People wouldn't have looked kindly on him. tax collectors. So Zacchaeus being short physically and also not popular with the public, it makes sense that he would have wanted to avoid the crowd that would have gathered around Jesus. You know, if you think about the parades, I know in Washington County, when they have the Washington County Fair every year, people line the streets of downtown Marietta as all the floats and stuff come by. And you kind of have to fight for a good spot. You either get there early or you have to be crafty and find a spot that no one thinks about. So I can imagine that, like, when someone like Jesus was coming through these towns, you know, people would line the streets and it'd be hard to get a spot to get a view of him as he passed through. So Zacchaeus, not wanting to mix with the crowds because of who he was and also being short, would have had to find a different way to see Jesus. The scriptures don't tell us specifically why Zacchaeus was wanting to see Jesus other than to see who he was. Word of Jesus and his miracles that he had performed would have preceded him, and there were surely rumors and stories about the man that they called Jesus. Maybe Zacchaeus was tired of living as an enemy to his neighbors. Maybe despite all the great wealth and his position of power, it still left him feeling empty, hollow inside. Despite this mass wealth that he would have been able to surround himself with, despite building his house however he would have wanted it, having an endless supply of money, that hole that was still in his heart wasn't filled. So maybe he was seeking another way to fill that hole, because power didn't bring it, having that position of power over people, and the money didn't fill it. So there must be something else. If these two things that so many people crave and so many people chase after didn't fill this hole, what would? Maybe this one that they call Jesus would fill this hole. We continue the story here in Luke chapter 19, now verses 4 through 6. And verse 4 says, "So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree. Ran into a sycamore tree to see him, Jesus, for who was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today.' So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully." So Zacchaeus' solution to being vertically challenged is to climb a sycamore tree to be able to see Jesus as he passes by. Now the crowd would have reacted to seeing Jesus, so Zacchaeus would have had a good either auditory or physical sight, you know, knowing of when Christ was coming through. Either the crowd would have got louder or, you know, he would have seen more people moving that way. So he would have been able to anticipate the drawing of the crowd to be able to see Jesus. And we have to imagine the anticipation that he must have felt to finally be able to put a face with this one that they call Jesus, all the miraculous things that he had done, that he'd heard about, and all the stories that had circulated about Christ, and to finally get to lay eyes on that one. I think we sometimes take that for granted in today's society of, you know, everything's on social media, everything's online, you know. Even, you know, communication between people, you know, phone calls don't go as long as they used to. You know, you can just send a quick text, or, you know, people don't write letters anymore. Forms of communication that they wouldn't have had back then. You know, you couldn't see someone unless they were physically in front of you. They didn't have photographs. They may not have even had drawings as much. You know, people didn't make sketches of people. So for Zacchaeus, this would have been a real moment of anticipation of seeing what did Christ look like. So for me and my family, we're big Steeler fans. I don't know how that gauges in the room, but when I was younger, I got the chance to get to go to Heinz Field. And for me, growing up watching games and watching the players go out there every Sunday and playing football myself growing up in high school, it was surreal to finally get there to be able to walk through the locker rooms where some of my favorite players growing up dressed before games, and knowing that they were in there during halftime and getting speeches from Coach Cowher or Mike Tomlin, and just, you know, the moments that had been in this. And I'm also a big history buff, so, you know, just getting to feel all those experiences, even though I wasn't there in that moment, you know, it was different. It was surreal. And even though I'd anticipated it, the real thing far surpassed anything that I expected. We even got to go down and be on the field and touch the grass, and I actually got to kick a field goal. I think I made it. Not sure. But for the record, we'll say I made it. So it was something that getting to do that experience, you know, I'd always imagined growing up and watching on TV what it would be like to be there. And even though I wasn't playing on Sunday or it wasn't the fourth quarter and the game-winning kick was on the line, it was still amazing to be there in that moment and get to experience it. So for Zacchaeus, you know, we have to imagine and put yourself in that shoes of maybe someone that you've never met before, or something that you've heard great things about, but you've never tried it before, and that anticipation of finally getting to do it or finally getting to see this person. The word of mouth and stories were what people had, and now Zacchaeus would at last be able to see the Lord, the one that they called Jesus. So Jesus finally makes his way to right where Zacchaeus is, and right where Zacchaeus had climbed up in the tree. And Jesus not only walks right to that very spot, but he looks up in the tree, and he calls Zacchaeus by name. He looks right up at him. This would have shown definitely how personable Jesus is, not only with those who knew him and those who were in good public standing, but especially those who were not in good public standing like Zacchaeus was. It's unlikely that Zacchaeus would have been so well known in the region as far as having a good benefit or people talking about him in a positive light that Jesus would have been able to identify him by his short stature or by how he looked. You know, Jesus, we're not told that Jesus has any pre-record of meeting Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had obviously never seen Christ. That's why he was so looking forward to seeing him. We're told that, you know, he's seeking him any way that he can, climbing up in the tree. So the fact that Christ goes to right that spot and looks right up into him and calls him by name, to me, it's very powerful. By Jesus calling Zacchaeus out by name, he was claiming him. He was telling those around that I am not ashamed to be associated with you. And remember that Zacchaeus' job made him very unpopular with the locals, but Jesus didn't care. To me, this is a great reminder of just how much Christ loves us, no matter what we've done or no matter what's going on in our life. He knows us by name, and he calls us by name. There's also another example of Christ recognizing someone who had stepped out of their comfort zone to meet him, which we see several times in Scripture. Scripture is full of people who dared to boldly seek Christ just to be near him and to meet him and to have a chance to be healed by him. If you think there's the woman who's afflicted with the medical condition, and she seeks Christ and she just touches the hem of his garment and she's healed. Just in the town before, when he heals the blind man can hear that Christ is coming because people are talking about it around him, and he calls out to Christ. And those around him tell him to be quiet, you know, don't disturb Christ. And yet he calls even more boldly out to Christ. Christ rewards that by seeking him and meeting him and healing his sight. So even though those around him were telling him to hush, he boldly yet cried out to Christ. Christ met with him. So I think it's good to look at our lives and see how we are doing by living out our faith daily. Are we taking bold steps to know him more deeply? Are we stepping out of our comfort zones, even maybe risking public ridicule for living out our faith? Or are we like the crowds and staying comfortable with just a passing glance as our Savior walked by? Jesus tells Zacchaeus that he must stay at his house today. Jesus rewards Zacchaeus for seeking him out. So not only does Jesus call out Zacchaeus by name, letting those know around him, the crowds, that Jesus isn't afraid to associate with Zacchaeus, he's going to stay at Zacchaeus' house. Those that people around him would have been really irritated at. And we'll see that here in a little bit. This decision greatly displeases the crowd as we keep reading in Luke chapter 19, finishing out with verses 7 through 10. And God's word says, "And when they saw it, they all grumbled. He has gone in to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Behold, Lord, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, Today salvation has come to this house, since he is also a son of Abraham, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost." Much like the crowds that followed Christ around, unfortunately, there always seems to be some sort of spiritual party people. You know, Christ is going around and doing these great things and talking about the love of God, and there always seems to be someone there who isn't okay with that, who feels like Jesus is rocking the boat just a little too much. Christ is living out the very way that he calls us to live out. And usually we see the Pharisees and the Sadducees expressing displeasure with this behavior. But here we see the crowd reacting in a negative way. rather than look at this situation as Jesus doing God's work, or as Jesus seeking the lost, which he told numerous people that he came to do. He's spent time with sinners in numerous other cities, and there would have been numerous other tales of him spending time with those that society looked down upon or cast aside. And yet this crowd is complete shock that this man that's a tax collector has taken money from us and defrauded us and basically, you know, emptied our pockets and without care. And Jesus is going to spend time with him? You know, why not me? Why not, you know, those of us who are more holy than this sinner? Their words show the state of their hearts, not the state of Zacchaeus's. They are concerned about image and about not associating with a sinner such as Zacchaeus. This is a great weapon that's used by the enemy today, that's used by Satan, especially today. The enemy loves to call us out by our sin, even though he knows our name. This is where we see a drastic difference between Christ and Satan. Satan knows our name, but calls us by our sin and loves to remind us of our sin. But yet Jesus, and he loves to make us feel that Christ's love is out of reach. Jesus, on the other hand, he knows our sin, yet calls us by name. And just like Jesus claimed Zacchaeus when no one else would, he claims each and every one of us each and every day if we let him. He's there waiting on us if we only open our hearts and we accept him. The church today, I think, has some struggles with this. We have those in the church who are very much like the crowd in the passage. They see the sin of everyone who walks through the doors instead of seeing a soul in need of saving. They see someone who might give their church a bad reputation. They are more concerned with image. If we're going to be, or it's going to be difficult for us to reach out to those like Zacchaeus in our neighborhoods, when we're traveling, wherever we go throughout life, if we concern ourselves more with people's sin rather than with their salvation, if we look more at the stains on their heart rather than the condition of their heart and in need of saving, much like we did. A friend of mine in college, he wasn't the most church-going guy. He kind of hung around with our friend group, and we ministered to him when we could. And he was one of those people who had a rough home life growing up, and so he was trying to seek Christ for himself, much like Zacchaeus. And he did try a couple of different local churches when we were there. He wasn't from the area, so he didn't know ones to go to. So a couple of people brought him to some different ones, and he went to one in particular where he had a really bad experience. He could tell that, one, by the way he was dressed, and two, he had a tattoo on his forearm. It wasn't anything derogatory. I think it was some family members' initials or something. But he got enough side glances and heard enough whispers about him when he was there that he decided that, you know, definitely wasn't a place that he felt welcome and didn't go back. And I hated that for him. A place where he should have felt comfortable to be, a place to worship and learn about God and to learn just who Jesus is, and that Jesus is there for people like him. He's there for all of us. But church for him that day when he went there was anything but that. Sin is a sickness and Christ is the cure. So shouldn't church look more like a hospital than a country club? Shouldn't church be a place where sick people come together and get better alongside one another, who are battling the same illness and struggling, even though that struggle may look different? A place where we can lean on each other and encourage each other to look to God in our weakness. Zacchaeus showed Christ that he had a change of heart. His sin, much like the fungus that consumed the heartwood of the sycamore, had likely left him feeling empty and hollow. And now interacting with Christ and meeting him and probably talking with him and Christ teaching to him, Zacchaeus felt that that thing that had been missing, that hole in his heart, was finally full. He wanted more of it. And so he talked to Christ about the changes that he was making in his life. He was seeking to feel full. Jesus declares that salvation had come to Zacchaeus' house today and that Jesus had come to seek and to save the lost. Zacchaeus not only paid back people the required amount, which was the stolen amount plus a fifth under Jewish law, but instead he paid back people four times what he took from them. This story in the Gospel of Luke is short. It's only 10 verses. Yet I feel like there is so much that we can take away from this encounter. And going to OVU, I love that some of the different Bible stories we dug into, maybe that don't get a lot of, you know, either time from people preaching about it or people don't read about them as much, you know, there's a lot that you can get even from a little block of scripture like this, 10 verses, and there's so much that we can learn from it. God's word, we can dig a lot out of just a little bit, even if we just look. So I think there's some major takeaways that we can take away from this short story in the book of Luke. One is that Christ calls us by name despite our sin. Much like Zacchaeus, if we seek Christ, he will call us by name, and he's there waiting for us. Two is that Christ is always ready to receive us. You know, Jesus was passing through, yet he took the time to spend with Zacchaeus at his house. But are we seeking him daily? Are we making the moves like Zacchaeus to do whatever we can just to get a glimpse of Jesus, spend that time with him? We can learn from Zacchaeus to boldly seek Christ just as he did. And as a church, let us seek to see others, especially those that are outside of our congregation or those that aren't part of our church body, as a child of God who needs love just like us, who needs saved from sin just like us, just like we did. If you would please, let's bow our heads and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the ability to deliver your message this morning, Lord. I hope that everyone here in attendance and those listening in, I hope they can take something from this. And Lord, I hope that they are able to boldly seek you, Lord, and learn that if we seek you daily, Lord, you're there and you're waiting. And that if we read your word, Lord, that there's so much that you can teach us, even from just a short block of scripture like this one. And Lord, we appreciate you that you give us your word so that we can learn and experience you more deeply. Lord, we thank you that you don't cast away the sinners like us and those that are out there in the world. Help us to seek them, Lord, and to help them feel the love of Christ. Help us not to see their sin, Lord, but their need of salvation. And to invite more people into the family of God, Lord. That they would feel your love as we have. That they would know your mercy as we have. Lord, help us to not forget those things, your mercy and your love. Even if we've been a Christian for one day, Lord, or 1,000 days. Help us to never forget you on our best days, and definitely help us to remember you on our worst. And Lord, we thank you for everything and all the teachings that your word provides. And we ask all this in Christ's name we pray.
Thy hand hath provided. have needed, thy hand hath provided. And we thank you so much for that. We need your message in our hearts and each and every day. We need your love. We need your word, dear Lord, that guides us. Help us to understand that we need to climb a tree sometimes, dear Lord, so we can see you better. And we just need to take the time it takes to do your will in our lives. Help us to be generous. Help us to want, dear Lord, to serve you. In all that we do, wherever we are, as we leave this place, dear Lord, help us in our walk and help us to do the things we need to do so that others may see your light shining in us. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.